This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Kansas City Chiefs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl title. They'll open up the playoffs in the divisional round with the Cleveland Browns at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. The Browns are the 10-point road dog, a total of 57. On a numbers game with Gil Alexander, former NFL offensive lineman and SiriusXM NFL host Jeff Schwartz says he likes Kansas City's team total to go over.
It would look at the Chiefs team total. I think it's at 32.5. I think I'm right there. Maybe 33, maybe 32, somewhere around there. Every time they play a bad defense off a bye, and the Browns are a bad pass defense. They're bad against deep passes. They're bad against tight, covering tight ends. They're bad at all of that. They're bad at all of it. The Chiefs score a ton of points because Pat Mahomes kind of hones back into what he does well. He takes the defense, gives him. They're rested. They're fresh. And the Chiefs score a ton of points in this game. So the question is whether their defense, which is awful in the red zone, which can be run on, whether they can do enough to cover the 10 points. And everyone always says, well, you can run the ball on the Chiefs, and that's the way to win the game. Yeah, sure, but you better score touchdowns when you run the football. And also, if you get behind 14 points in the third quarter, are you still running the ball? If you think the Chiefs start slow, which they've done so far this season, they've done a little bit off by, it's kind of started slow, maybe grab a better number early in the game. The Browns will feel confident. They come out, maybe get it 3 or 7 right away, and you get a better number. But I lean toward the Chiefs here, but I definitely, like my number one pick this weekend, I love team total over for the Chiefs. I don't like betting overs a lot, but this one I love.
Former NFL offensive lineman and SiriusXM NFL host Jeff Schwartz on a numbers game with Gil Alexander weekdays 10 to noon Eastern on VSIN. The Buccaneers and the Saints will meet for the third time this year. The Saints won the first two meetings. This time, the Saints are laying 3. Pro Football Focus's Eric Eagers says he likes the Buccaneers plus the points.
Yeah, this is a great one where you look at just like the pure power numbers of a game, and you probably have, you know, the Saints being 2.5 points better than the Bucs. And, you know, you look historically at home field advantage for New Orleans is generally speaking very good, but goes away, with the limited fans to no fans in the 2020 season. And then it goes away a little bit more because the Saints, who are the 2 seed, no longer have the bye that they're used to having. Familiarity when it comes to, you know, home field advantage also reduces that number. And then having a brilliant Hall of Fame quarterback on the other side being able, I mean, we saw that Sunday Night Football game early in the season where Aaron Rodgers was able to check at the line of scrimmage to his heart's content. Brady, obviously, you know, having now 17 games in this Buccaneers offense, very comfortable at this point. That's why, you know, when I look at this, I know the matchup has been tough for Tampa the first two times. Todd Bowles has been sort of run in circles by Sean Payton, but I think the third time around here, I'm going to go with Tampa plus the points.
Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus on betting across America. Heard weekdays 3 to 5 Eastern, weekends 1 to 3 Eastern on VSIN. It's another huge NFL playoff weekend coming up, plus daily basketball and tennis betting action. And the NHL drops the puck this week. The VSIN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSIN All Access subscriber today. VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sennett.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSIN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSIN subscription today at VSIN.com/subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host from Las Vegas. Your other host today is James Salinas, and he is out in Denver, Colorado, and happy to bring on to the program. You see him on DirecTV, host of the Red Zone channel there, and also you see him on NFL Network hosting NFL Now. It'd be Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Pritch, how are you, man? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. Cleveland Browns. I'm trying to get some understanding of the culture and certainly the transformation of the Cleveland Browns in short order. Andrew Berry, Stefanski, in 1 year to get 11 wins and also a playoff win. As a Cleveland Browns fan, and you followed the Cleveland Browns for a long, long time, obviously, and can you enlighten us in the transformation of the Cleveland Browns in 2020?
You know, man, what's been amazing for them is that they've been able to do this in this environment that we all just have to live through in 2020 and now 2021. I mean, if you look at the first year head coaches, he's the one that stands out. He's the one that was able to figure it out. He's the one that was able to build whatever culture it is. And he's kind of like the slow and steady guy. And every day is the same day, no matter what it is. It worked. And he has told this team from day one, you got to hit the curveball. Hit the curveball, hit the curveball, because whatever we did today, chances are it's going to be different tomorrow. You know, we might practice at noon today. We might practice at 5 tomorrow because we have a positive test or there's a contact tracing thing. And every day is going to be different, and you got to deal with it. And that's how they somehow amazingly, and whether or not the Steelers took them lightly, I don't know. But that's how they amazingly were able to go in there and punch the Steelers in the mouth, which I cannot emphasize enough what that meant for the city, for the organization, for the fan base, for the generations of players that have at least had a cup of coffee there and tried to turn it around but weren't able to. This group did.
Hey, Andrew, James Salinas out here in Denver. Pleasure to meet you, and thank you for coming on for a few minutes with us today. So I want to jump to tomorrow. We got, to me, division games, these divisions playoffs are the best ones. It's the four best matchups going forward for the playoffs. And looking at the Rams having to travel to Green Bay, I don't think the weather's going to be too big a concern, but obviously the big concern is Jared Goff. Obviously, let's start with his thumb. Have you had any updates? How's he feeling? I know he's got a few pins in it. He might be wearing some gloves going into this game too, right?
Yeah, Jared practiced with gloves this week. And he said that it remains to be seen whether or not he wears them tomorrow. I'm going to guess he does just because A, it's going to be cold, and B, he's got to protect that thumb. And look, he's 2 weeks removed from thumb surgery. I think the whole narrative though, that Jared is awful in the cold, I don't know that the sample size is that good. They had two games a couple of years ago, one in Denver, one in Chicago. The Chicago one, the primetime one, that's the one everyone points to. It was kind of fluky. I mean, they had a safety, and then the Bears ran some crazy trick play called Santa's sleigh, and all of a sudden Jared can't play in the snow or the cold. Granted, he did not play a good game. I think people overlooked, though, the game in which they clinched the NFC West the year previous, 2017, where they eventually lost to the Falcons in the playoffs. They went into Nashville. Nashville, not known for the cold, but it was a 39-degree day that day, and he threw four touchdowns and torched the Titans. So it's kind of selective memory here. The fact is Jared hasn't played that well down the stretch. But this game, to me, comes down to the Rams' defense, and they have the number one total defense. It's the most overlooked side of the football in football. Oh, yeah, they're good. People might have noticed that last week when they did what they did to Russell Wilson. I'm not saying that they're going to shut down Aaron Rodgers, but to me, that's how they win that game. It's Cam Akers, Cam Akers, Cam Akers, Cam Akers, and rely on that defense and hope that's enough.
Speaking with Andrew Siciliano, host on NFL Network, NFL Now, as well as Red Zone Channel there on DirecTV. Andrew, sticking with the Rams. Sean McVay, too, kind of getting it done differently than in years past. You know, the Super Bowl appearance was one thing. They missed the playoffs this year. Attention to detail with the running game. That's been fantastic. The defense, what you just mentioned. I think Leonard Floyd, picking that guy up and having him a part of the defense has been a major, major difference for the Rams this year.
It's the Dante Fowler effect, Rich. I mean, Dante Fowler came in. They got him for the Super Bowl run at the trade deadline 2 years ago, came in, made a bunch of big plays down the stretch, got himself a new contract, and then obviously moved on to Atlanta after his 1 full year here. But it's also the Aaron Donald effect. It's when you have so much attention going to Aaron Donald, granted he's in the middle, the other guy's on the edge, you're going to eat. And Leonard Floyd never showed that consistent pass rush ability. Granted, he had a lot of great talent around him as well in Chicago, but Brandon Staley, who was in Chicago before he went to Denver, obviously knew what Leonard Floyd had in him, and he's been able to unlock it. It's a 3-4 like it was with Wade, but it's a little bit of a different 3-4, and Leonard Floyd had a career year. And Leonard Floyd, one of my favorite plays of the season last week when he had Russell out in space on the edge and Russell tried to juke him like he's a point guard on a fast break and Floyd didn't bite. And that was a thing of beauty.
So, Andrew, let's jump ahead to Saturday night, the night game, the Ravens taking on the Bills. Now, I think we know the Ravens, we know what their identity is, although they have had some changes in their offensive line from last year to this year. But can you speak a little bit about the Buffalo Bills and really the maturation of Josh Allen at the quarterback position, how we've seen a different offense and different identity as from a passing standpoint for that team, as well as the impact of Stephon Diggs at the wide receiver position coming over for the Bills?
I just love how Stephon Diggs led the league in receiving, and then he came out in his first playoff game, at least with this team, and put up 128 yards. I mean, he's exactly what they thought he was going to be, if not more. Someone made the argument this week they underpaid for him, which is pretty bold. He has had that kind of impact. He has made Josh Allen that much better. And if you look what Josh Allen does against top 10 defenses, although I think that's a bit overrated, top 10 at the time when he faces them, Josh Allen was 5-0 this year against top 10 defenses. His numbers the last couple of years average, but that's a tough task regardless. He is so much better. My fear with Josh Allen is that he's going to get in a situation in the playoffs where those hero plays come back to bite him. His hero play last week is being dragged down in the red zone and then shot putting a tight end, a football in the end zone for a touchdown. It worked. I just hope that we don't have one of those hero plays come back and bite him against a very good Baltimore defense.
Yeah, you're right about the hero play. I mean, Lamar Jackson's going to have to be a hero as well. I mean, that's why this game is so interesting when you think about Baltimore and Buffalo. Buffalo being one-dimensional through the air, Baltimore being one-dimensional on the ground. Which one-dimensional football team is going to prevail here? Because this is a very interesting matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, Rich, the thing that got me and the thing that you can't prepare for about Lamar, obviously, look, they have the called runs, they have the option game, and then they have the plays that break down. The two wild plays in the last 6 weeks for me for Lamar were both when plays broke down. It was the play on the Monday night against the Browns where he miraculously comes back onto the field from the locker room. It's a fourth down, and he breaks contain, he's rolling to his right, and he has a linebacker and a corner, like they run into each other like the Keystone Cops, and then Marquise Brown gets deep, and they throw the touchdown, and they win the game. That is because you cannot prepare for that. And you can't prepare for what he did when they're down 10 to nothing or 10 to 3, whatever it was last week against Tennessee on third and long near midfield. They have the play dead, and he goes 50 yards for the touchdown. And no, I mean, it was just one of those, like you rewind it five times and go, that was one of the best runs I've ever seen at any level. I think this is one of those games where I know they played last year, but this to me is like the first chapter in what could be a 10-year head-to-head between these two guys. I know they're not in the same division, but Lamar Jackson v. Josh Allen, two would-be MVPs, one of them already has an MVP, to me is set up for the next decade. Baker Mayfield's the oldest quarterback remaining in the AFC. Think about that.
Well, so let's talk about that game, Andrew. You talked about Cleveland before and what Stefanski has done and really changing the culture and the identity of that team. Talking about the Chiefs here, we know what the identity is with Andy Reid and with Mahomes, and talk about an ad-lib playmaker. No one better than that than Patrick Mahomes. But any concern about kind of the layoff that we've seen? Obviously, they've been resting, at least the offense has, since week 16. But also kind of going down in those games in December, really not clicking on all cylinders offensively, only scored 44 points in the first half of the last four starts for Mahomes. Do you have any concerns about Kansas City showing up in this game and trying to get the rust out early in that matchup? Because I think we saw some issues last year in the playoffs for them as well.
Yeah, they start slowly, but honestly, I think they spoil us, guys. I mean, if you throw out week 17, which we all should because nobody played, if you throw out week 17, they've won 23 of 24 games overall, including the playoffs. So, I mean, not every game is going to be 50 to nothing. They keep playing close games, but they keep winning close games against good teams. So I'm not worried. I mean, I even joked today that if they're down 17 to nothing early, it's exactly where they want to be. I mean, I don't think they want to be down 28 to nothing like the Steelers after a quarter. But, I mean, there could be 5 seconds left and they could be down 3 touchdowns. And if I'm a Browns fan, I'm still worried.
You will be worried. I know you. You will be worried.
Absolutely. You know me well enough.
Absolutely. Talking with Andrew Siciliano, host of NFL Now on NFL Network, as well as the Red Zone Channel, DirecTV. Andrew, getting to Tom Brady and Drew Brees. I know a lot of people you talk to over there at the NFL Network, everybody's anticipating this matchup. Third time around, we hear both sides of that. How do you see this game playing out there in New Orleans?
I don't think, I'd be stunned if it's over in 5 minutes like it was on Sunday night the last time they faced each other. To me, what's so fascinating about this game is just the finality. And Bruce Arians said that today. The sudden finality of it all, and that goes for every team of the postseason, but I think there's more of a spotlight on this one just because of the age, with Brees turning 42 today and Brady being 43. I don't think anyone thinks Brady's going to retire if they lose, right? But Brees would, most people think, if they lose. And so there's a darn good chance that the two most prolific quarterbacks to ever play the game are playing each other for the last time. I don't know who I like in this game, but I do know that, I mean, it's a game we would want for the NFC Championship. It's going to come a week early in the divisional round. And if the Bucs win this game and somehow the Rams beat the Packers, you're going to have a setup next week where Tom Brady is playing the NFC Championship game at home, with the chance to play the Super Bowl at home.
Yeah, that's incredible to think about right there. I just look at two Hall of Famers, too, going at it. When you think about Drew Brees and Tom Brady, I hadn't thought about the finality of it. We know what drives Tom Brady. I don't know on the other side what drives Drew Brees, though. Even though the Saints, whether they need Drew Brees or not, we know for instance, Tampa, they needed Tom Brady, and they got Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. They got to the playoffs. But, you know, Taysom Hill got it done a little bit. Bridgewater got it done last year a little bit. For Drew Brees, like, we don't hear enough of what's driving Drew Brees, and I wonder if that could be enough in this playoff matchup.
I think the drive is just one more, you know, okay. Win one more. I mean, Sean Payton's got his two guys in waiting, ready to battle it out next year, potentially. I had Jonathan Vilma on a couple of weeks ago, and I said, if they don't win, like if they get knocked out, if it ends really early, like the Saints have been known to have their playoff runs end early, do you think he'd come back? And he said he actually did think he would, not like definitively, but he thinks there's a chance. But he wants to hold that trophy up one more time. And I think Sean kind of enjoyed winning with Taysom Hill this year. Mike, you know, kind of going, hey, look what I can do, right? Look, I'm the offensive mastermind that can mess with you, and I'm going to go win with a guy that I have playing wide receiver right now. You know, a guy I claimed off waivers when he got cut by the Packers a couple of years ago. But I think Drew badly needs one. We don't have – remember with when Peyton, and you know this from Denver, when Peyton at the end, oh, he's got to win another one. He's not going to be the greatest of all time if he doesn't win another one. Well, we don't say that about Breeze. We're not yet saying it about Rodgers. But don't think for a second that those guys don't think about it.
Absolutely. There he is, Andrew Siciliano, host of NFL Now on NFL Network, as well as the Red Zone Channel on DirecTV. Andrew, thanks so much for your time today. That was awesome.
Pritch, it's been too long, man. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Look forward to the matchups. James, you know, when you look at these games and what we just talked about with Andrew, anything come to mind here in terms of not new information, things we knew about, but also just pulling back the curtain a little bit on some of these teams?
Yeah, I think we talked about the last game, right, with the Bucks and the Saints and the finality of it. Kind of curious, if the Bucks lose, what does that look like from a coaching standpoint for Bruce Arians there? Because, you know, I don't know if there's been any friction or not between Brady and Arians, but, you know, it's a whole different setup, and I think we've heard some rumblings. That'll be interesting to see after the fact, but we still got to kick the game off first.
That's right. Coming up next, we go to the NBA. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. On the next Ron Flatter Racing Pod, William Hill's Joe Asher talks about the making of Kentucky Derby futures. Trainer Michael Stidham discusses his Derby hopefuls, Manor House and Proxy, and Johnny Avello from DraftKings Sportsbook handicaps weekend races. Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available for download now at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts, and sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. James, I did it. You know, the ticket that we talked about, Charlotte, out of sight, out of mind here. When I, Gordon Hayward or not, I just thought the number we were talking about was a nice one to grab with the Hornets and sticking my toe back in, right? Then later on after the show, reminding myself to place the bet, I saw it got up to 10. So I did jump all over that one, getting the plus 10 with the Hornets.
Well, and obviously the 10 was once the news broke about Hayward. Now, I didn't play that one because we talked about it, right? As well, we got to make sure, even though he was listed as probable, and we see that, they'll list him as probable, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to play. And in Hayward's case, I didn't want to play it because I loved the spot for him. And it was more so, wasn't a play so much on Charlotte as they were going to play hard. But ultimately, it was on Toronto, just feeling like, you know, they haven't got off to a good start. They're having to live in their own bubble down in Tampa, Florida. And just feeling like and coming off a long road trip, just so many factors going against that team there. Now, again, obviously they won the game, but they definitely didn't cover that big number. But in that case, you know, I'll be okay. I didn't bet that game because I didn't like the fact that Hayward wasn't there. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. For me, that would be a stay away. But ultimately, you know, you move on from that one. And there were other ones that we talked about. We liked this spot with the Pacers last night, right, going into Portland with three games in four nights, knowing Portland doesn't play very good defense. and that those bigs would probably get work. So coupled that with the Sabonis over with his team total. So things like that, there's plenty of – I need to hire somebody, Pritch. There is so I'm serious, man. There are so many options for prop bets that I have never been privy to before until it's now legal here in Colorado, that there is just so much going on. There's only so much time in the day to really dig into those. So I was fortunate enough to dig into some of those, hit that Draymond Green, that over with the assist too, because Gary Harris didn't play last night. Lots of little things. But really, for me, it's so situational in the NBA, making sure that these teams are going to show and who's going to compete and making sure that who's actually going to be on the floor come tip-off
time. I know. My foot might go in. My toe's in the water now. My foot might go in after all this information that we can gather, certainly. And these shows as well. They're so helpful, teams. Mavericks and the Bucks. This is, I think everybody's looking forward to this game. You got MVP, then you got MVP candidate. Porzingis is back for the Mavs. Milwaukee playing great basketball. This line, Milwaukee laying 8, 229.5 for the total.
Yeah, and I think for me, this is another one. There won't be a single NBA game that I will bet this early before we know tip-off because, again, COVID, there's some COVID issues going on with the Mavs right now, making sure that they're going to have their roster intact or who is actually going to be available. But one player that is available, Porzingis, he did just come back, and I think that really helps them spread the floor. We know his interesting five spot that he plays in, right? He's a stretch five for sure, and that's kind of what the hybrid is of that five position now in the NBA, but him coming back really helps open and space the floor as well as for Doncic, I think, to be able to get some more scoring opportunities inside the paint. But here, I think the Mavs have been playing very well. They've won four straight, but I think it really starts on the defensive side for them. This is a team that they're near the top of the rankings for whatever that's worth in NBA when it comes to defense. They're only allowing 104 points per game, so I think there's a commitment for that team, knowing full well that they had a great run in the bubble and I think saw a lot of growth out of the Mavericks. And so carrying that over into this season starts on that defensive end. So they're buying into that. And Carlisle is going to make sure that he's selling it. They have to buy it to be getting minutes on the floor. The concern I have with the Bucks, there's some new pieces to that team. But really, Pritch, they played a very soft schedule up to this point. You know, they 12 games. And it's small snap size of how many games. Only played 12 games. But they've yet to beat a team with a winning record. And they got to beat up on the Pistons already three times so far this season in the first 12 games. So good matchup coming on here. I want to make sure that the Mavs have a couple players on COVID that are questionable to come back tonight. But ultimately, +8 with the way the Mavs are playing defense and Porzingis coming back, I lean towards the Mavs in that spot.
Okay, 7.5 too, depending on where you shop. +8 out there in Denver?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So, again, shop around. If you like the dogs, find good numbers, especially out here in Colorado. We got a lot of operators to choose from. Find the best price, and that's right now across the board pretty much out here in Colorado is Bucks are laying 8.
Okay. And Porzingis with about 21 minutes in his debut, expecting him to be managed a little bit with the Mavs. Up next, Ben Fox, VP of Digital Content right here at VSiN. He's coming up next. Everybody get ready for the 2021 hockey season with our NHL betting guide. The guide has over 80 pages of insights on the teams, players, and trends to watch from Andy McNeil, who is our VSiN hockey expert. It's available now for VSiN subscribers, or get your copy today for only $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. And also on the program right now is VP of Digital Content, Ben Fox. Ben, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Getting ready for another football weekend. Glad to see you kept the scruff there too, Pritch. Coming in nicely.
It's coming in too much gray, though. I got to find somebody to kind of, even it out a little bit, I think.
Yeah, a couple more months, you'll get this here. I got some gray in there, too, though. It happens.
Some versus all is different, though, Ben. Let's get to these weekend's games, because the Rams and the Packers, star power with Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's talking about the Rams defense. What are we seeing here in the betting market from your perspective here, as I can get that word out of my mouth right now?
It's Friday, you know.
Right, right.
This is a game, I think, very similar to what we saw last weekend with the Steelers and the Browns. And this is by far the most bet game of the week so far. We've seen that at just about every single book. Over 80% of the bets, well over 80% of the money, 90% of the money at some books on Green Bay, minus 6.5. BetMGM operates in 9 states. Gil Alexander, they do that great job on numbers game, showing basically the ticket count in all the states. In all 9 states and the consensus, the Packers are the most bet team. So this is the most bet game at Bet Rivers. Just about every bookmaker I spoke with, this is where all the money is. Everyone has the Packers, either the spread, in a money line parlay, in a teaser. We have seen this line come down from -7 to -6.5. So some sharps obviously grabbed that Rams +7. But this is going to be the public game of the weekend. I think bookmakers are probably glad this is the first game and we won't necessarily see all of these potential parlays running into the final game. That's what made it so unique last weekend, was that the Steelers were the game everyone thought they were going to easily win. And that was also the last game of the weekend, the 6th game. This is the first one. So that should, at least bookmakers should know where they stand, at least, which they couldn't last weekend.
So let's move on, Ben, to the next game, Bills and Ravens. This one's been interesting as far as the line movement goes, and I'm not really sure where the money's going with this one, because it's toggled down. I saw it at 1.5 in favor of the Bills a couple days ago. Now I see it at a couple shops here at 2.5, and ultimately I see a couple threes out here in favor of the Bills. Where's the money going on this game?
Yeah, this is a fascinating game. Definitely the game I'm looking forward to watch most over the weekend. And there's really been a two-way right. So we've seen, like you said, this opened Bills -3 at a lot of places, got down to 2.5, as low as 1.5. It's come back up to Bills -2.5. And like you said, there are some threes out in the market. So depending on which side you like, you can probably bet Ravens -2.5. Bills -2.5 or Ravens +3. We've seen a little more of the bets and the money on the Bills. One giant two-team parlay at BetMGM, $250,000 on the Saints -3, Bills -2, both those teams to cover the spread. But this is really a game where I think I've heard respected opinions on both sides. It's basically the second largest handle game so far of the weekend. And I'm not sure there's a consensus, really. I think both teams certainly could win, and both teams, I think, could challenge the Chiefs. And people are really on both sides, both public and wise guys.
You know, Ben, I saw that tweet about the Browns and the Chiefs in terms of that line finally moving. I mean, it was at -10, and then all of a sudden, okay, -9.5. And so I sent out a group text to some of my friends interested in sports wagering, of course, and I got all these question marks. How much did it move? What did it move? And, you know, you come back half a point or whatever, but there was some movement. I guess that's the point to make here. when you think about interest in betting and people are looking for certain numbers or certain movement, I mean, it really is fascinating at times.
For sure. And this is a game we've seen pretty much at Chiefs -10 for most of the week. Really hadn't moved. Last night dipped down to -9.5. That, again, some of those 9.5s are gone. They've gone back up to 10. There still are 9.5s out in the market. So again, if you like the Browns +10, you can probably get that. If you like the Chiefs -9.5 now, you can also get that. This is another game similar to the Ravens-Bills, where it's really kind of a 50-50 split, you know, 55-45. People are betting on the Browns, certainly getting that 10 points, kind of a public dog, obviously seeing them, you know, come off that win against the Steelers. Seen a lot of money on the over. This has come up at least a point and a half, now up to 57, the highest total of the weekend. And I think people are expecting somewhat of a shootout. I'd also keep an eye on those injuries. The Browns have Kevin Johnson coming back, Denzel Ward coming back off of COVID. Is Jack Conklin going to play? Sammy Watkins out for the Chiefs, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire questionable. So a lot of injuries in there as well. But again, I think people probably expecting the Chiefs to win, maybe not cover. And if you get that 9.5, 9, you could have a 7-point tease down to under a field goal if you want to put that in some other game. So again, 10, certainly a key number, just like 7-3.
Well, and then the last game, that's the one everybody's talking about, right? Brady versus Breeze, and the third time matchup for this season. This I haven't seen much movement on this game, maybe some juice moving, but ultimately it's been pretty solid with Saints -3. Where's the money coming in on this game?
Yeah, so sharps grabbed this opener. Some books, it was 4.5, 4, 5. It's came down to 3.5 and 3. And like you said, it's pretty much been at 3. A couple big bets are on the Saints, $250,000 on Saints -3 at BetMGM, and $120,000 also on the Saints -3. A little more juice there at William Hill. This is going to be another giant handle game. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady are one of the biggest public teams this year. And so people are always going to bet on them. The Saints, obviously, Drew Brees at home, people are going to bet on them. This is going to be a big handle game. But again, kind of close to 50-50. I think people are on both sides of this. I think some wise guys probably buying on the Saints -3, though. It's a little cheap there now that it's come down. But again, should be an interesting game and another big handle game for the books.
Ben Fox from the Evolution of the Home Studio. I love it. It's changed every single week as you settle in into Las Vegas. Thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Ben Fox, there he is, VP of Digital Content right here at VSIN. Coming up next, James Salinas and myself, we will go over our final picks. The playoffs are here. They start tomorrow, kick off tomorrow, as well as basketball, college and pro basketball, NBA. We'll get through that news. The Big Three forming for the first time this weekend. So a lot to discuss. Come back with us right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when they place a $1 wager on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three. Download the app today. Use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, 800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee, call or text the red line, 800-889-9789, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. And James, to round out the NBA action here, Jazz and the Hawks, anything interesting in this game that you've seen?
Well, just looking at spots right here, right? Mm-hmm. I think for the Jazz, they've been on the road. This has been a really interesting schedule for them, and everybody's schedule's really kind of screwy with COVID, but ultimately they've played 11 games, only three of those games at home. Really long road trip that they're coming back from, but I think for them to be able to get back in the confines back there in Utah, we know what the identity of the Jazz are, right? It's going to be Mitchell, it's going to be Conley running the show, and very guard-oriented type of team, very perimeter-oriented type of team, but they do cut hard and they do get a lot of movement without the ball. And I think for the Hawks, you know, a lot of pressure on Trae Young. That was the identity of coming out. Wasn't sure when he came out a couple years ago from Oklahoma. Wasn't sure how well he was going to adapt to the NBA, and obviously started off on fire. But he now this year he's been dealing with a wrist injury, and anytime you're a shooter, those wrist injuries linger, man. They take forever to heal, and you don't get a whole lot of time to rest up and heal. You're heal your wounds in the NBA. You know, the Hawks started off well. They started off 4-1, but since then have regressed and 1-4. And I think they kind of go as Trae Young goes. So I think this game, from this standpoint here, you know, he hasn't been shooting the ball very well. They did lose Bogdanović too. It's I see some sixes, some 6.5 out here in favor of the Jazz. I'm going to lean towards the Jazz in this matchup, just knowing that from that standpoint, they will be able to score on Atlanta. Atlanta doesn't play very good defense. And then on the other side, with Bogdanović out and Trae Young kind of nursing this wrist injury, I think it's just been a struggle for them to score, especially these last handful of games for the Hawks.
Okay, yeah, we have Utah laying 6 out here as well in Nevada. 228 is that total. Shifting back to the National Football League, here we go, decision time, James. So we still have some time, and you have the show on the weekend, right? Betting Across America on the weekend with Wes and Mike Sennett as well. So, but what we've heard all week and what we know from the week and teams, their preparation pretty much done, especially if you're playing tomorrow. What have you determined up to this point here on a Friday?
Yeah, I think for me, it's the Bills and the Ravens game. I think there's so many different angles and storylines within this game because we know what the identity of these teams are going to be, right? We know what the Ravens are. We've known what their identity is for the last couple years. Now, granted, that I think about the matchup of last year. I went back and watched that game last December, and that was a game that the Ravens won on the road in Buffalo 24-17, and it clinched a playoff spot for them at the time. But going forward, it's really the same team from last year to this year, except for some movement on the offensive line, and I think that's what's key. It's not the same offensive line going into this matchup with the Bills for this divisional playoff game. And I think for the Bills, a couple props that I played, and these are sometimes that's the beauty of being out here is such a wide menu of props. It's not just some of your standard ones. I like to look at the matchups from the defensive side, and so I did play a couple props from a couple defensive players for the Bills from a tackling perspective, and I'm getting plus money on both. So it's both with Tremaine Edmonds, 8.5 tackles over at plus $1.12, and Jordan Poirier, their strong safety at plus 7.5 at $1.28 plus money, right, to get over that number. And I think from this standpoint, we know what the Ravens are going to be. They're going to run the football. They're going to run between the tackles. And I think that's the key here is we know you can run at the Bills, but I don't think you can run around them. It's a very fast defense. So from that standpoint, I went back and was looking at the matchup of last year, and ultimately Poirier and Edmonds both had nearly double digits in tackles. Mm-hmm. Poirier had 10, Edmonds had 8. This year, it's the same defensive concept because I think the Bills are going to play a lot of single high safety, dropping Poirier down into the box, right? So he's going to play down in the box, and they're going to play against that run. So, yes, you can run at them, but they're going to counter that, and I think that's where the matchup comes into these two players. Very fast, very athletic, sure tacklers. They lead their team in tackles. Again, Poirier has, anytime you see your strong safety leading in tackles, he has 124 tackles this year, but 6.5 of them are tackles for loss and 2 sacks, too. That tells you right there that they're putting him in a lot of defensive fronts up at the line of scrimmage to be very aggressive. I like it from that standpoint because we know exactly what Baltimore is going to do. They're going to be coming running right at him. So I think both of those players have a chance to have a lot of plays to put people on the ground.
Look at you on the big prop game right there. I like it because I don't really look at defensive props, James. I'll be honest with you. I hadn't even considered a defensive prop, but that is a strong, strong prop there. I'm glad you brought that one up because I didn't consider that. And you think about the dominant running game. They're one-dimensional that way. There's some play action mixed in. But then on top of that, even with play action, linebackers can get tackles too. So with the running game, screen game, and then also the play action passing game, a great opportunity from a defense perspective for some pretty strong props from what I just heard from you.
Well, and you're getting plus money on both of them. So even if one wins, one loses, you're still going to make a profit on this because they're both plus money. I just think at 8.5 and 7.5, respectively, for those two players with Edmonds and Poirier, I just think there's so many plays. We know what their defense is going to be, and I think that's where the prop game for me is understanding what I think the game plans are going to be, and especially defensively for the Bills. They are going to utilize that speed. They're going to drop Poirier down up at that line of scrimmage along with Edmonds, who can run sideline to sideline. I mean, he's their linebacker, and he runs a 4-5. I mean, the dude's got speed. I'm right. Run an athlete, a lot of speed from sideline to sideline to run down, be able to run down those, not only Jackson, but some of the inside plays that they're going to run as well. So I think from that standpoint, I think both of them get there. But even if only one does, there's plus money from that side. And the other piece too here, looking at this Bills, I haven't played the side yet. And that's kind of where I'm on the fence with this game is I can make a case for both teams. But I think the thing with the Bills is this is a completely different offense from last year's matchup to this year. We talked about their inefficiencies on third down in that game back in 2019. I think they were 4 out of 17 on third down, but they didn't have Diggs. And it was very one-dimensional when it came to what they were going to – I think for the Bills, we've seen so many empty sets for them because they have that capacity now with that passing game. My only concern going into that matchup is I'm going to wait on that one because I want to see what is truly the weather going to be because it changes so drastically in Buffalo. We've seen things where, especially the wind. I'm not so much concerned about the cold or the snow. It's really the wind. And if we're getting gusts up to beyond 15 miles an hour, I may not be playing anything, any kind of props with Josh Allen. But right now, I'm leaning towards the under with his passing yards in that game as well.
Okay, Josh Allen with the ability from a dink and dunk standpoint, too, if the wind's causing problems or defensively. Right. But Lamar Jackson doesn't have that, the dink and dunk options. I mean, they got screens and play action. That's about it. Or vertical passing game. So that gets interesting to me if the Ravens find themselves behind in this game. You know, I never considered Baker Mayfield being the oldest quarterback in the AFC right now. That one's shocking to me. But now that I think about it, it kind of coincides with what I mentioned on yesterday's show in terms of how mentally tough Baker Mayfield is. You know, he walked on. I mean, he's highly familiar with Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech ties that way. But Baker goes on to Oklahoma and then has a career that he's having so far. A mentally tough quarterback. I mean, I think that could be everything for Cleveland in this matchup.
Well, we talked about looking at the – because I did see some sevens. Now, that number's starting to stray off of 6.5 and down to 6 in some places as far as the first half line with Cleveland, knowing that Kansas City has been sitting for a while. They've been resting their offense for 3 weeks, haven't really been clicking so much in the month of December. You know, only 44 points scored in the first half in Mahomes' last 4 starts for Kansas City. But I think from this standpoint here, I think the play that I like better when we're talking about the props again, going back to that, is Baker Mayfield, the under passing yards. I have a 260.5. And again, shopping around right here, but even money at under 260.5. I just don't think that's going to obviously be the game plan. And that's pretty simplistic to say with the Browns because we know what they're going to do running the football. But I did check on Betonio at the left guard. He has been activated from the COVID list, as well as Conklin at right tackle. Now, he has a hamstring injury, but he hasn't practiced all week except for today. He was limited in practice today. Obviously, he's going to try to give it a go, but the strength of that team is going to be rushing the football. They want to pound the rock, keep Kansas City's offense on the sideline, and keep the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands to have to make big plays down the field. I think anything on third and short, it's going to be simple throws, getting him outside the pocket, dink and dunk, like you said. That's going to be restricted to any kind of big plays over the top. So 260 yards, this seems like a lot of yards passing for Mayfield when that's really not going to be the game plan for the Browns going into this match.
Okay, looking at Kareem Hunt, 31.5. Any extra motivation for him going up against the Chiefs? I mean, I know he ran himself out of town. What he did was despicable. We all know the story, but 31.5 facing his former team.
Yeah, I'm not really sure when it comes to the carries. Obviously, Chubb is going to get the bulk of the carries, but I think on third down, you can run the football at the Chiefs, and in this case, they may get plenty of carries. I think that's just the key to this game plan, and that's the other thing too, Pritch. Some of these sites have live player props. Whoa, and so that's okay. To me, that's genius. I sit here when I'm looking at live game wager, and it's not just the size and the totals, it's also the player props, because you can start to get a sense, you know this full well, you can think about how the game plans might be going into the game prior to kickoff, but once that ball's kicked, you start to get so much more information. Having an option for live player props, to me, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's got a plan. Can you adjust to it? That'll do it for us today. James, have a great show this weekend. And then also good luck this weekend as well.
Absolutely. Good luck on all your bets and stay safe out there, Pritch.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much to the crew here at VSIN as well. My guys in the desert coming up next. Stay tuned for that. But that'll do it for us today, this week. I hope everybody can make those final decisions getting ready for the playoffs. We'll see you.